the presence of God, as we've heard, that makes all the difference. Makes all the difference in our lives. Now, I could have gotten up and said it's the Word of God that we need and makes all the difference in our lives. That's true, too. And I could have said that praise makes all the difference in our lives, and that's true, too. There are a lot of things that make all the difference in our lives. And it really all boils down to the same thing. It's Jesus. It's His presence. He is the Word. As we praise, we're praising Him, and He inhabits the praises of His people. We need Jesus. We need Him. But a large aspect, and maybe in a certain way a unique aspect, that we've learned and been taught through, just because at least I'm speaking for myself, because I grew up here at camp, and I grew up in the fellowship, and it just fell into my lap. And our lines, and some of us can say, if you've grown up around here too, our lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. But there were people that paid the price. Now, we have to continue to pay the price, as we've heard. It's just not going to continue because it started that way. There's a price that needs to be paid for it to continue. Holiness unto the Lord was good in Uncle Hunt's generation, but it's got to be good in our generation. Otherwise, the blessing of God's not going to be maintained. As long as you keep these grounds, holiness unto the Lord, I'll set my presence into this camp. Well, Brother Hunt's has gone a long time, and others have come, taken his place, and carried on the work, and the gardeners have been here, and now they're gone, and Brother Bob has been here, and now he's gone, and there are others that have been here and are not here any longer, and now we're here. And it becomes our responsibility before God to maintain that motto behind us joyfully and cheerfully. And to understand that there's a benefit to us and to the camp and to the world. Now, how big can we get this? Is it really to the world? There are people that come from all over the world and take this message back to where they go. And it's, again, not because we're special or we're better than anyone, or God has entrusted something that maybe is different or unique along this line. And there are other places and churches that have an emphasis in a certain other way, and it's precious to them, and we can learn from them and do. But here I thank God that we've learned in a little measure, maybe not very well, but we're learning to dwell in His holy presence. And just to sit at the feet of Jesus and just to enjoy Him. You know, that's the greatest part of the meeting. Some people come to the meeting when it's time. I'm talking about back home. When, you know, the meetings usually begin as we do here, and then later on in the meeting is the preaching time. And there's some people that come for the preaching. And if they get there for the preaching, they get there early enough. It might be 40 minutes late, but it's early enough. And I like to tell them, you know, come for the first 40 minutes and then go home. Because that's more what we need. We need to just give Jesus a chance. It's His opportunity to work in us. It's not our opportunity. We've come together tonight, and now we have an opportunity. Well, we do. But I like to think of it more as, now here I am, and Lord, this is Your opportunity to work in me. Your opportunity to change me. And as I'm in Your presence, that's where these changes are made. And when we're in His presence, we heard it tonight, what are we doing? Well, teach me, Lord. Teach me. Teach me Your ways. Psalm 84, I think it is, it talks about the ways of the Lord, the ways of Zion. He puts those ways into us. And they need to be put into us by God. Only He can do that. But He does it as we give Him time. As we just sit in His presence, He makes changes in us, inward changes. He wins victories in us, inner victories that redound to His glory. And again, I'm not abnegating, you know, forget about praising the Lord, and whatever we say about praising the Lord doesn't. No, God answers through praise and wins tremendous victories through praise. He wins tremendous victories as we just sit at His feet and just reflect on His goodness and just give Him opportunity. As Brother Paul and Sister Monica and others of you were testifying, I thought of several occasions, and I don't want to tell stories, but I thought of a time here at Pilgrim Camp. You know, Brother Jonathan, when he was here, he said something about I was his counselor. I was. He didn't have to remind me that I'm old enough to be his counselor, or have been. But then he made me feel better, he said. And he's not that much older than I am. And I began to think, now how much older am I than he? And it's not that much, but there's some years between us. And you know, I remember when Jonathan was in, Brother Jonathan, Pastor Reverend Jonathan. I remember when he was one of the campers up there in Onantum, and I was one of those counselors up there. And that year I had four boys in Onantum that were bigger than I. And he was one of them. He's still bigger than I am. He was bigger than I was when he was 16 and I was whatever, 20 or whatever it was. He's always been bigger than I. And David Perez was bigger than I. And Dean Spivey was bigger than I was. And who was the fourth one? Jeffrey Moore could have been there. I don't know who they all were. They were bigger than I. They were all good boys. Thank you, Lord, that they were good. We had 16 boys, 14 on a campers. That, you say, no, it's impossible. They can't have been that good. They were. If I named you some of the others, you'd say, yeah, okay. Tom Kineth. He was one of the campers up there. He's a good boy. He's still a good boy. He's still a good man and a good minister and a good servant of the Lord. And on, Andy Millar. Good boy. Good man. Found the Lord. Well, there was one boy that wasn't a good boy. There was only one boy. Well, there were two boys that didn't get anything. One of them came off the bus, and he handed us a letter from his mother. And his mother had written a letter to the camp or to the counselor saying that his son, my boy, is Catholic, and he doesn't need to go to the meetings. I think she said the masses. So please exempt him from going to the mass. No. No, we can't do it. No. We can't exempt him. As a matter of fact, he's going all the masses twice. He's going to extra masses because he needs more than the rest of us. Well, I don't think he fared very well. There's another kid up there. And I've told the story, and I'm not going to tell it. I'm not going to keep you long in telling this story. But he came off the bus, and he scared us. Because he came off the bus. These were the days before. Now you got these little gadgets that can blare louder than I can shout. But in those days, you needed a big thing to blare as loud as I could shout. And he came off the bus with one of these boom boxes. Now, you know, one of the first rules at camp, if you want to keep holiness unto the Lord, you leave your disco music somewhere else. Better in the East River if you can bury it there. And he came up with this boom box, and he had a bandana around his head, and he had a hard look on his face. And this is Nonantum. Somebody alluded to this, you know, welcome to Nonantum. I don't know if it was Brother Jonathan or somebody else. And I right away thought of this kid. And then when he turned and walked away, I saw the back of his jacket, and it had a skull and crossbones. And I thought, Lord, help us. Between this guy with this letter, and fortunately, there were some other good kids. Well, we were in the meetings up there, and because of the boys that had a heart for God, and Danny Petfield is another one that just comes to mind, and on, just kids, young men that are now grown up and married and have families that are in ministry and following the Lord and loving the Lord. It was in spite of Nonantum that year when we counseled them. God had worked in their hearts prior and worked in their hearts subsequent, and I hope he worked in them while they were here at camp. But this one kid, we had a meeting one night up in that Nonantum. I never could get through the story, I guess, without thinking, this is a long time ago. But we had question and answer night that night, and so every boy, anybody that wanted to, could write an anonymous question. And so the questions came, and we answered. Brother Paul Dietrich was the senior counselor, and so he was the one that did most of the answering. And after we finished, we just had a little time, and we sat quietly. And while we were sitting quietly, on our knees, just quiet, nobody was shouting, and we could shout. And the boys in Onantum, they could shout, and they did. And we sang a lot, and we praised a lot. But there, it just got quiet, just quiet, quiet, until I was quiet too. And then I heard something not far from me. I heard somebody going, I didn't know if they were choking, coughing, crying. I didn't know what they were doing. And I looked to see where it was coming from, and I looked over, and there was Mr. Skull and Crossbones. And his back was going like this, because he was just weeping. just weeping. Nobody dare move anywhere near him. Let God take care of him. God's doing a good job. Don't spoil it. Just stay. Don't touch him. Don't go pray for him. Don't go lay hands on him. And just leave him alone. God's doing it. God's melting the heart of stone. God's breaking the fetters. God's bringing deliverance. Oh, I thought God brings deliverance when you shout and put both hands up. He does. He does. But sometimes God works very quietly. Sometimes God works more mightily in the quiet times, or should I say, as mightily in the quiet times as he does in the loud times. And they're just sitting in his presence. Junior, Jose was his name, we called him Junior. He just broke through that night. God came to him. And then he wanted to sing a song that we, I guess, sang somewhere along the line. And it was, "Who took my burdens all away? Jesus, Jesus. Who turned my darkness into day? Jesus, Jesus." We sang that song in Onantum that night. And then afterwards, the next day in the meeting down in the village, anybody have a song you'd like to sing? We had a chorus book. It wasn't in the chorus book, but he lifted his hand. Could we sing, "Who took my burdens all away? Jesus, Jesus." So we sang it there, and we must have sung that chorus at least 15 times in meetings and out of meetings. I remember the last night after we were walking out from the village, cutting through the woods, heading back over to Onantum. I believe it was the Comars, or Brother John at least, was living in that house, Elliot, at that time. And we were walking by Elliot, and almost to Elliot, and I got a tap on my shoulder. "Brother Ernie," it was Junior, could we sing that song for Brother John? So there was an Onantum, all 16 plus two counselors stood outside Brother John's. I don't know if he appreciated it or not. He had been in bed, I don't know, long before, tired, working all day. But all of a sudden he heard a holy serenade. "Who took my burdens all away? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." I can't sing that song without thinking of that incident. Now, why did that happen? How did that happen? Oh, I'm sure the Lord prepared him. Perhaps something that he had heard in one of the meetings. Perhaps another time when God had worked in his heart. Perhaps it was one of the questions and answers. I don't really know. I never asked him. But all of a sudden, while we were quiet for 5-10 minutes, all of a sudden God just melted Junior's heart and came to him in a tremendous way. See, that's why I told the people, I don't know if it was Sunday night or Sunday morning in church, I said, when I go to camp, every year I go, there are places I visit. And I said, I go up to Onantum every year. I go up on Sundays, oh yeah, because nobody else goes up there. It's too far to travel to see where the kids live and stay. And they've cleaned up once in 2 weeks up there so that they can have visitors come and got rid of the dirty laundry or whatever. And so I want to, but I don't go up there. Maybe that's my pretense. But when I go up there, I go into that meeting house. And I see those old chairs that are still there, at least they were last year. And I can't forget that day that Jesus came to Junior. And not only him, and not only then, but how many times, dwelling in his holy presence, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And how thankful we are for his presence. But it's not only Pilgrim Camp. And it's not only the fellowship churches. I was 10 years ago, I was at a church out in California in the middle of the Redwood Forest, a beautiful place, beautiful place. The redwoods are majestic trees, beautiful things to look at. And the deer were just walking around the grounds there. And there were several hundred people at this conference. And we had had a series of meetings and were nearing the end of the meetings. And it was a group of Asian Christians. And I spoke through a translator to them. And once in a while, they have an English meeting for the younger set mostly. And so we did what we normally do. And I noticed a woman there that had a large goiter tumor on her neck. And it was large. It was very large and noticeably large. And I couldn't speak to her very well because she was a little bit older and she didn't speak English well and I don't speak Chinese. And so we didn't have a very good time communicating. And I wouldn't have talked to her anyway, even if she spoke English. I didn't know her. I didn't know her by name or whatever, but I could notice that thing. We had our meetings and they worship the Lord. They have times of praise and singing. And and they really get into it. I mean, they can sing a song, and I wish we could sing, or I could sing back home in our church the way they sing sometimes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And they got a bass drum and they're banging it, boom, boom, hallelujah. We're past the riven veil where the glory's. And they'll sing it over and over again, and they'll just worship the Lord as they sing. And we were doing that and having a good time in the meeting, and then the meeting ended. We had an altar service like we're prone to do, and then, as it often happens, as Brother Paul said, the end of the altar service. Sometimes it's not at the end, sometimes it's all the whole altar service, but sometimes it's just at the end, and it was in this case. It got still, it got quiet. And I was in the front row, and I was sitting in the front row, and it was very quiet, and they're not in a rush. When they go to their conferences, they go, they leave every cell phone, every internet, everything that they can. They try to divest themselves. They even hold some of their conferences in venues where you have no internet connection and you can't get a cell phone signal. And they do that. I think they do it on purpose. It's cruel sometimes to some people. But for some, it's withdrawal pains all weekend long or week long. But here we were at the end of that meeting. And all of a sudden, it was quiet still for 10, 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, I heard, and they were talking, and excited talking. And I thought, what's happened back there? Somebody fall? What happened? So I turned around and I looked, and they were all like four or five people huddled together, three quarters of the way back. And they were, and they're talking then Chinese, no less. So I can't talk Chinese. I could say two words, boo. That's Chinese. I know what Moshe means. You know what Moshe is? That's Moses. I know that too. I don't know. I don't know much Chinese. That's all I know. And so I tried one time to say thank you to Chinese. This was in Taiwan. I tried to say thank you to them, and I messed it up. You know how you say thank you in Chinese? Oh no, you know already what's going on here. I said "xiexie," and I thought that meant thank you. So I was going to be cute. So instead of using my translator, the guy next to me all the time who helped me out, I said, I just want to say to everyone here tonight, "Xiexie," and they all burst out laughing. And I didn't know why, and I got embarrassed. I don't get embarrassed easily, at least not in those kind of places or things. And so what did I do? What did I do wrong? I said thank you to them. I want to say thank you. And I thought maybe, you know, my Chinese has an English-American accent or something like that. And then I learned there's a difference between xixi and xiexie or something like that. And I probably got it wrong now. But what I was saying is I need the bathroom. So I just want to say to you all, xiexie. And they all burst out laughing. I no, I'm not. And my translator was laughing so hard that I couldn't even ask him what was going on. Well, we finally got through that meeting. But here they were talking Chinese and gathered around and making all this commotion. And I didn't know what was going on until the pastor came over to me. Brother Yu, his name is. Not the Brother Yu that some of you know, but another Yu. And not from Maryland, not that pastor. His brother. And he came over to me and he said, "Brother Ernie, the Lord just healed that woman of her goiter. It's not there anymore. And it just disappeared." Well, I wasn't even there to lay hands on her. Wait, that can't be, Lord. I have to lay hands on her and pray the prayer of faith that she'll save the sick. And then the Lord, I have to anoint her with oil in the name of... You know what? God doesn't need me or you or him or her. He privileges us to use us every once in a while. But God has enough power in heaven and on earth to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, independent of anybody else. Maybe it was just the faith of others. Maybe it was just the presence of God that was invoked and in that place because they called on God that night, but dwelling and just sitting in his holy presence. She gave a testimony the next morning. They translated it from her Chinese to English so the few of us that didn't speak Chinese could understand. And her testimony went something like this: "I woke up four or five times during the night, looked in the mirror to see if it was still gone. It's still gone. I see that lady every once in a while. It's still gone because Jesus Christ did a good job." How? When? What happened? Who prayed for you? How did that come about? Just sitting in his presence. Just sitting still before him. That's the power that there is when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and he fills the life with glory, and all is changed. Everything changes when Jesus comes. Let me just give you one scripture verse to put a Bible verse under what we've been saying tonight, or some of it at least, from Ephesians chapter 5, or, yeah, it's Ephesians 5, verse 15, I believe it is. Ephesians 5, 15. It says, "Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Be very careful how you live. Well, how should I live? I mean, what is he talking about? Well, there's not enough time to read the whole book to the Ephesians, but you can read it sometime and you can gather from the letter that Paul writes what perhaps he's alluding to. And if you look right in the immediate context, you can gain some other insights as to what he's thinking about. Be very careful how you live. Walk carefully before God. Walk in a careful, holy way. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. You've been called to a job. Vocation is a job. It's a task. Now walk worthy of that task. Live up to the light that God has entrusted to you. Don't play with it. Don't monkey around with it. Don't toy with it. And don't treat it glibly or lightly, but take it very seriously and walk carefully. He goes on in this same verse, making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Buy up those opportunities, the old King James says. Buy them up. We have an opportunity tonight. When we came into this meeting, there's an opportunity for us, as Sister Monica said. You know, we can be in the presence of the Lord all the time, at work, at home, wherever we are. But when we come together, there is something different about it. I know a lot of people like trash church. We don't need to go to church anymore. Why do you need to go to church? Well, you're lucky if I show up once every other Sunday. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But if you want to keep growing in the Lord and you want to know him better, I think you need to go to church, because the Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Those are opportunities that God gives to us. And too many people blow them off because there's a game on, or because there's a barbecue, or because there's something else that, some pleasure of life. No. Don't flit around and play around and be glib about those opportunities that God gives to you. We have prayer meetings. We have prayer meetings at Pilgrim Camp. Prayer meetings on Monday. Prayer meetings on Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. Prayer meetings on Wednesday morning. Times to pray. Well, make the most of those opportunities. They're opportunities. They're not like straitjackets. Ugh, I gotta go to prayer. Oh, no. What am I gonna do? Look at it a little differently. Now I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to go to the throne of grace. I have an opportunity to get together in his presence. As was said, I'm thankful for the staff. I'm thankful for the people that I'm around. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful that we can get together. Well, when we get together, make the most of those opportunities. Well, that's my 30 minutes to... Well, sometimes you do. You do, don't you? I was in prayer meeting a couple weeks ago. No, I'm not pointing at anybody. I don't see anybody sleeping. Nobody's sleeping tonight. What happened to you all? Well, and don't try it now. I'm watching now. But in prayer meeting at home a couple weeks ago, it wasn't you, Brother Frank, but there was somebody else right around the corner from where I pray. All of a sudden I heard, well, I wanted to save his life, or at least his reputation. So I started to praise the Lord or something. I did something to try to wake him up, and it worked. Well, yeah, it's really okay. So you're tired and you fall asleep in a meeting. Has it ever happened to you? It's happened to the best of us. I mean, it happened to my own flesh and blood one time. And someone in my immediate family was playing the piano, not present tonight, but somebody in my immediate family. Not present tonight. You're present. And somebody else. No, I'm not going to say anybody's name because I don't want to get any of my children in trouble. But I said, let's sing 200 and whatever it was. Let's sing. Okay. There was no organ. It was just the piano. He was playing. One of my children was playing the piano. Let's sing 212. And there he was. Well, that's okay. I don't mind that. I really did. I said, 212. And then he got the message, and we went on with the meeting. And that was okay. I mean, he did this all day, and he did that all day, and he did that for the last month and the last 19 days. And I get it. I understand that. If I probably wasn't standing up here tonight, I'd probably be like some other people. I don't know. But the point is this. Make the most of the opportunities that you have. Not only at camp, not only here, but all over the place. Redeem the time. Buy up those opportunities. They're God's opportunity to work in you. No, but there are only 10 of us. How many people does it take to get the presence of God around? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You don't need more than two or three. And some people think the more the better. Brother Hunts, who was alluded to tonight, who is Aunt Rose to him? His sister tried to get people to come to prayer meeting. You should come to prayer meeting. You don't come to prayer. Why don't you come to prayer meeting? You should really come to prayer meeting. It would do you good to come to prayer meeting. And you need to come to prayer meeting. Why don't you come to prayer meeting on Monday? We have prayer meeting on Monday night. And she'd go around trying to get people to come to prayer meeting. And Uncle Hunt's idea was, hey, if they don't want to come to prayer meeting, let them stay home. I'd rather have 4 people, 5 people, 8 people, 20 people in a prayer meeting that want to come to prayer meeting than have 70, 80, 100 people that don't want to be there, that'd rather be someplace else. You detract from a meeting when you're really not wanting to be there, but you show up. You don't want to go, don't go. You don't want to be there, don't be there. Now, when you're here at camp, you have to come. I understand that. But make the most of the opportunities that you have when you're here. You know, I another meeting, and another meeting, and then another meeting. And you just get out of me. It's like the kid that was fidgety because he had been in the morning service, and now he's in the evening service, and he's sitting next to his mother. Alyssa, she does great. She's like exhibit number one. If you want to know how to behave in church, look at Alyssa. And she's always all there until she falls asleep, but she's allowed to. And she sits so quietly, and so she just takes it all in, and she's you're good, Alyssa. You're a good example to us. To we older ones, so we're watching you now, and so you better be careful. But here, this kid wasn't like Alyssa. She was fidgeting around. Mom, there are all flags in the front. Mom, what's that flag for? What's that flag for? Oh, that's the American flag. Oh, okay, that's American. Mom, what's that flag for? What's that flag for? That's the Christian flag. She thought the kid would finally be quiet. Mom, what's that flag for? What's that flag for? That's to honor those that died in the service. She said, Mom, morning service or evening service? Some of you are wondering what the flags are for. Well, there are no flags in here. Nobody died yet. But when you come, don't think you're going to die. I'm never going to get through this. I can't. I'm going to melt. I'm going to die. Like the Wizard of Oz. I'm melting. No, you won't. You'll be okay. You'll get through this. Make the most of the opportunity. Jesus is here. His presence is here. He wants to draw near to your heart. He wants to change you and work in you. And no matter what the meeting's like, no matter what turns it takes, in his presence, he can heal you. In his presence, he can melt those hearts that are callous and cold and far away and just somehow woo that heart and draw that heart. Walk carefully. Buy up the opportunities, Paul goes on and he says, because the days that we live in, they're evil days. The days that we live in are evil. And so you have to take advantage of every privilege and every opportunity. You have staff devotions in the morning. Oh, it's too early. I wish I could sleep another hour. Go to bed an hour early. Don't hang out with the guys so long. Schlafen gut. Get a good rest. Get up and make the most of it. My dad used to teach us. He let me play ball, but it's out in Long Island. It's out in Suffolk County. I live in Queens, and it's a pretty good trip, and we play doubleheaders Saturday nights. I played for a church out in Long Island, and you get home kind of late, and then my dad, and, you know, I was grown up enough. I was at least 13. No, I was 17 or whatever I was, and I remember him saying to me, Your Sunday morning begins Saturday night. You know what that means? Oh, it's Saturday. We can stay up till all hours. We never have to come home until 3 a.m. And then here we showed up. Yeah, but we'll be in church. I've seen those kind of kids. They're in church, all right. Your Sunday morning time with the Lord begins Saturday. And think about it. Present yourself to Him at your best. Buy up those opportunities. Make the most of them. You live in a day that's evil. It's an evil world. And we need the presence of God. And we need to dwell in His holy presence. And we need to cultivate that, as Monica said. We need to cultivate His presence. We need to understand more. And we need to pray, Lord, teach me Your ways. Teach me Your presence. Help me to understand. He goes on and launches into, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's wise. That's a good idea. That may be what happens when you dwell and sit in His presence. And so I don't know what the Lord will do for us and for you tonight, tomorrow, the next day, throughout the course of the week. But there may be times when we just draw near to Him quietly, silently. And everybody, what are you going to do next? Who's next on the agenda? Who's next on the program? The Holy Spirit's next. And after that, He's next after that too. And He wants to have His way. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your ways. Lord, we thank You. We need to learn better. We need to learn better the practice of the presence of God, as A.B. Simpson called it and wrote about it. To take time in Your presence, to be still and know that You are God. Lord, it's there that as we wait upon You that our strength is renewed, that we are able to mount up on wings like eagles, run and not be weary. Even the youth shall faint, and even the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, that hope expectantly in Him, will renew their strength. So, Lord, we want to take all the opportunities, all the time that we can. We'll have time tonight after the meeting. Maybe a few minutes, maybe a long time. We'll have time to just enjoy You, to just sit at Your feet, to just wait upon You. Lord, I don't know what You could do. I know You can do a lot. I know You can. I know You can set free. I know You can heal bodies. I know You can fill with Your Holy Spirit. Oh, there's Joe DeFalco underneath the piano in the Ridgewood Church in a prayer meeting night. All quiet, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came and filled him. And I remember Brother Edwin saying, I didn't go near him either. God was sweetly coming to that man. Lord, could You do that again? Would You do that again? Draw near to us by Your holy presence, we pray. And help us to live in Your presence day by day. Help us to walk carefully, to be wise, not unwise. Help us to redeem the time, because these days are evil. And so thank You, Lord, for the thoughts that You've introduced to us tonight through these testimonies. Thank You, Lord, for calling our attention to Your presence and calling our attention to our privilege of being able to dwell deep in God. Take us deeper, Lord, and teach us, we pray. Write these things on the tables of our heart. And Lord, don't let the youth say, oh, this is for the old folks. And don't let the old folks say, this is for the young people. But Lord, every one of us need to learn these lessons. So teach us, teach us, teach us, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.